Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck here in NYC, rolling solo today on the show because Clay is taking a much-deserved day off. He'll be back with us tomorrow, not to worry. Tell us about the nail-biter Texas A&M victory over my now recently beloved Alabama, because I just go with whoever wins and whoever has the most fans that listen to this show. So that was Alabama. Sorry, Ole Miss. I love you all, too. I love you all, too. See what I just did there? That's right. Alabama 41-38. I guess it's not a spoiler if it's been a couple of days and everyone's had a chance to see it on the... Clay will tell us about what he saw there. I've got some Fauci madness thoughts for you, where we're going with COVID. The supply chain issue is going to get really ugly in this country. It's going to be a big problem for the holiday season, that's for sure. And I'm also about to lay into the Southwest Airlines, they call it a blue flu situation here. They're deciding to step aside, and not show up for work because of the vaccine mandate. Yeah. And they're lying to you about, not they, the ones doing it, the government, the media, they're lying. They're saying, oh, it's the weather or something else. Don't pay any attention. Don't realize that you can use the tactics. And let's be honest. Usually, collective action against a workplace is something the left excels in. Use the tactics of the left against them. They hate that. They hate it. So we'll come to that in a moment. I just want to, though, say that the back and forth over Columbus Day today, because it is Columbus Day, and obviously I'm here working. I'm sure a lot of you are, too. And to the many, many people who are engaged in their day-to-day work, I'm right there with you. We got a lot of truckers I know listen to the show. They write in. Thank you for making sure that the goods that do come to U.S. shores at least are still being distributed. I love my Team Buck truckers. They're always listening. But here we are on Columbus Day, and just to give you a sense of how crazy the left is, Columbus Circle is not far from where I'm doing this show in New York City. Very well-known area. It's actually CNN's headquarters. Well, New York headquarters used to be there. Boo. But now they're gone, so yay. And Columbus Circle is a place where you'll see a huge police presence. A lot of cops all over the place. And you'll say, what's going on? Why are there... And there are fences and barricades. It's because of the statue. Because they're worried that some woke left-wing mob of loons, Biden voters, are going to gather together and decide to try to tear down this iconic statue of Christopher Columbus in New York City. So they have to protect it like it's something that's constantly under threat. And I've seen a police presence of at least dozens of officers. They'll park a few. They used to call them paddy wagons. I know we can't. I'm Irish. I'm allowed to say it because that's what that refers to. See, the Irish used to get into their fair share of trouble back in the day in this country. So that's where we got the notion of the paddy wagon. You'd put the Irishmen in the back when they were a little too rowdy after having a little too much to drink. I know these are all stereotypes, but at least I can have fun with the stereotypes where I'm allowed to say it. I'm about half Irish. Did that 23andMe thing recently. I'm about half Irish. So Columbus Day is a time when we see how the left is both simultaneously trying to rewrite history and use their narrative of history for the purposes of political power and control today. Some questions that I would want answers to. Why do Indigenous Peoples Day today? Why not have it on another day? One of our producers here told me that Canada has Indigenous Peoples Day. And it happens to be on the same day as, well, it's very close. Okay. Well, anyway, they have an Indigenous Peoples Day, but it's not on Columbus Day. So why is it that we have Indigenous Peoples Day on the same day as Columbus Day? Because they're looking to replace really one with the other, to take the celebration of Christopher Columbus. And by the way, it's never been. Oh, he's a great guy. We love him because he was so nice to everybody. No, we don't even know. He did something that changed the world and was a pretty extraordinary thing to do. That's it. You know, the same way that if someone discovers, you know, how to split the atom, or someone discovers what a radioactive isotope is, or what gunpowder is, right? Nobel discovered, TNT explosives, and then created the Nobel Prize to kind of deal with his conscience afterwards. Because, oh my gosh, explosives, right? They can be used for great things, clearing out mountains for trains to go through, or, you know, any number of explosive ordnance usages that are peaceful, but obviously also you can use it to blow people up. So we celebrate the act that Columbus engaged in that changed the world, and they want to replace that with essentially a celebration of victimization. That's what the whole narrative is. And they will avoid talking about some aspects of the history. And this is a part of it that I like to talk about, because I think people find it really interesting when they're presented with this history. First of all, there were indigenous peoples in the Americas who engaged in cannibalism, who engaged in human sacrifice, who engaged in slavery, who, you know, so this notion that you have that it was sort of like the, you know, the people come up with this idea that it was almost the Disney cartoon version of the movie Pocahontas or something here. That's not reality. It was not all in balance and everything was perfect and being kind to each other. The Aztec Empire of multiple millions of people was a slave-based empire with human sacrifice as a central religious practice. What do we say about that? Do we repudiate it? Do we even engage and talk about this? I mean, if you've seen the movie Apocalypto, it's Mel Gibson, so obviously, oh gosh, people who say, oh, you're not allowed to. Braveheart's my favorite movie of all time. People can say whatever they want about Mel Gibson. I don't care. Great movie. He was a great director and great actor. Apocalypto shows you some aspects of the tyranny of the Aztec Empire. Now, I understand we could say, Buck, do we even care? Well, we care insofar as they're constantly engaged in, the left is engaged in this very selective rewriting of history, and they're doing it today to try to dominate the narrative, to try to change the curriculum, to teach your children some things. Some people in history are good, other people in history are bad. They're picking who falls into those categories. And they're using historical ignorance as an excuse or as an advantage in that process. How many of the people listening right now ever learned in school, for example, if we're going back to the 1500s, the 1600s, even into the 1700s, the scope and scale of the massive Muslim slave trade of white European Christians that went on for hundreds of years. I wonder how many of you have even heard of it. It wasn't taught to me in school. I've read several books on it because I find it fascinating. I find that whole period of Mediterranean history in the high Renaissance. Yeah, I'm a little bit of a, you know, this is what I do on the weekends. Maybe it's why I'm not married. But I find that period in history to be particularly interesting. But they don't teach in school that the first foreign war we fought, right, to the shores of Tripoli, was actually about the Muslim conquest of and enslavement of a lot of Europeans and Americans on the high seas. And they would bring people back. It was human. It was, you know, human trafficking, slavery of the worst kind. They'd bring the males back and they'd work them to death either on the rowing benches of the galleys or in the salt or other mines they had in North Africa. And because they didn't have to go very far to get them, by the way, just as a basic economic practice, they felt like the Christians they seized were very disposable. Can always get more where that came from. We'll just pick them off the coast of Spain. We'll pick them off the coast. Remember, this is the same period the explorers, 1492. You get into the 1500s. What I'm telling you about, this was happening then. So we're talking about the same period in history. Why doesn't anyone know about this? Why aren't there people that are putting... The White House today put out a statement about how sad we're all supposed to be about the bad things that Columbus and some of the conquistadors did. Well, is anyone putting out a statement? You know, is Algeria or Tunisia or you name it putting out a statement saying, wow, all that slavery we engaged in of Christian Europeans, we feel really badly about that today. We probably should have slowed that down a little bit. It wasn't a good thing. No, they don't do that. Why did we go to the shores of Tripoli? We went because the Muslim Barbary states were grabbing our people and enslaving them. And when we sent Jefferson as an emissary overseas to tell them to stop, they said, sorry, you're infidels. This is how it goes. What are you going to do about it? And thanks to the United States Navy, the United States Marines, our answer was, oh, we'll see you in just a little bit. And we did. But you don't learn about this. No one teaches this history in school. Why? Well, maybe it would complicate things a little bit more for the white colonial oppression is an evil that we still have to constantly be apologizing for today, as if, you know, some of us right now arrived on foreign shores and tried to convert everyone to Christianity and, you know, slaughtered people and took them into slavery. Neither you nor I did that. But we're supposed to be sorry for it and be silent when they try to rewrite the history and downplay the greatness of the act of exploration of Christopher Columbus. They certainly don't tell you about the centuries of slavery that the Muslim African Barbary states engaged in against Christians, and that led to our first foreign war in 1801, 1802, because that would make the narrative all a bit more complicated. People might start to realize, hold on a second, you mean that centuries ago, the human condition was might makes right? You mean that centuries ago, there were countries or states or tribes or whatever all over the world who would pillage and plunder and destroy each other based upon what we view today as superficial characteristics that by no means should be used to undermine a person's humanity, right? We're all children of God. That mentality, that did not exist a few hundred years ago anywhere. Whether it was in the Americas with indigenous people, whether it was the Comanche or the Aztecs or the Mayans, or the entire Muslim world, which felt like it was fine to enslave and murder Christians. This was a few million people, by the way, over the centuries. This was not a minor practice. They don't teach that in schools, though. You have to ask why. You have to wonder, why is it that no one has ever explained that there were slaving raids made as far north as Ireland and Iceland in the 16 and 1700s where Christians were seized by Muslim pirates and sold into slavery, and that was the end of it. Probably hearing this for the first time right now. By the way, please check any of this. You'll see all of my facts are correct. All of this is true. But they want to control the history, the narrative of history, because they want to control you today. And that's why this fight matters. That's why this is something that we should actually push back on, tell the truth about. You want to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day? Fine. What are we celebrating? If we're just celebrating the existence of people who were here before Columbus arrived, let's talk about what those people were really up to, what things were really like here. Let's have an honest conversation about it. You'll find the left doesn't really want to do that. They just want to lecture you. And that's what they're really into. Speaking of lecturing you, Fauci. He's out there still doing his usual. I'm upset with him, as always. And then there's Southwest Airlines, where a number of pilots, attendants, and others are holding the line for freedom. We'll get into that in just freedom from forced vaccination. We'll get to that in a few moments. If we've learned anything since 2020, is that there's nothing quite as important as a powerful immune system. Over 20 years ago, naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black of Texas invented Texas Superfood. This is the original superfood. I've known Dr. Dennis Black for years. I met him in L.A., 5 years ago now. And I've been taking Texas Superfood. I love this product. It's 55 vine-ripened fruits and vegetables, plus probiotic and digestive enzymes, so you can build your body's defense from the inside out. For me, it also has really helped with my digestion, which is something that I've struggled with in the past. You know how your grandmother told you to eat your fruits and veggies? But a lot of us don't actually get to it, right? With the schedules we have, with the fast food that's out there. That's why you need Texas Superfood. It is the safety net for the American diet. If you can't, won't, or don't eat all your fruits and vegetables every day, Texas Superfood was made for you. Start boosting your immune system for under $2 a day. Go to TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55. That's TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55. Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. This is Buck doing it alone today because my man Clay is taking a day off, rest, recuperate. He's, you know, traveling every weekend for football and all the stuff that he does for Fox Sports as well. He'll be back with us, though, tomorrow. So the truly dynamic duo will be back in effect then. Let me know your thoughts about what we're talking about here today on the show. You can go to Facebook.com/Buck Sexton. Please follow me there. You can send me messages there, which I would greatly appreciate. Tell me what you want us to be talking about tomorrow or this week or just any thoughts you have at all. And also, I have a Buck Sexton Show podcast in the morning I want to tell you all about. You can subscribe to it wherever you listen to podcasts. The iHeart app, a great place to do it. But it's only podcast. That's not on radio. So you got to subscribe to that podcast, and you'll get it every day. The Buck Sexton Show, just check it out. And subscribe to the Clan Buck Show, of course, because that's amazing. So we have our friends in the land down under, Australia, always showing us what will happen if we just give up and let the Fauciites run amok, right? What will happen if all of a sudden we just say, fine, we'll do what they want. We're not going to fight back anymore. Things will get really crazy. And here is a video, and I couldn't really confirm or verify much. It was on social media. It all seems quite legit, though. I mean, the police seem like police. They're acting like cops in Australia. They approach a guy about him being at a protest against lockdowns 6 months ago. 6 months ago. And that is something that is a criminal offense that they now want to talk to him about.
Did you put this on Facebook?
Yep.
So the question that's been raised is, were you there?
Oh.
Is that you?
Yeah, well.
Were you there?
Well, does it matter?
Yeah,
you're handing me paperwork saying I've sent a photo.
I'm not handing you anything. I'm asking a question.
Well, you've got the photo, don't you?
You've put a photo on Facebook, doesn't actually confirm whether you were there or not. So I'm asking were you there?
So if I say no, you're not going to give me the paperwork, you're going to go home, are you?
There's no paperwork here to give you. This is
okay, so what are we here for?
Are
you here to serve me?
Okay,
or?
What part?
No.
Intimidation.
Yeah, I know. It's you.
What are you laughing?
It's loserish. It is like sad.
I'm doing
it. What is this humanity? Where are we going in life? You've got the cops coming around here to tell me that I've been in a protest.
No, to ask
6 months
you
ago.
To ask if you have been.
How illegal is that?
Which part?
Going to a protest. Why are you guys here? Why is the police on my doorstep about a protest?
Yeah. Because
why?
It's illegal.
Because it's illegal, she says. You hear that? It's illegal to protest lockdowns because by protesting, you're violating lockdowns. That's the way things are in Australia. They will send law enforcement officers with guns to your home to ask you if you were out peacefully protesting six months ago because it was a violation of COVID orders. That is how crazy a Western democracy that is very similar culturally and otherwise to our own has gotten. So don't think that, oh, they'll get tired. Fauci and the rest of his little minions we'll get tired of the tyranny here. They revel in it. They love it. They think it's fantastic. If they could get away with more, they would. And that's why the Southwest Airlines collective action. Gosh, it sounds like something the left would do. I love when we take their tactics. I love when we take enemy tactics and use it against them. That's why it's so important. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Clay told the story last Friday of U.S. Army Sergeant Mario Nelson and his wife, Mecca. This was the young man who married his high school sweetheart, and together with their baby daughter, they shipped out to Germany. That's where Sergeant Nelson was deployed to Iraq. Before all of that, Mario signed on to the National Guard in 2001. In fact, after the 9/11 attacks, he volunteered to join the recovery effort at Ground Zero. Tragically, Sergeant Nelson lost his life in Iraq while defending our freedoms. He had been away for 10 months and was due back 2 months later. Since then, Sergeant Mario Nelson's wife, Mecca, has gone on to create a yoga therapy to help people cope with grief and trauma. Mecca and their daughter received a new home on Staten Island, New York, in August of 2019, thanks to generous donations from people like you to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T2T.org.
Halloween is just around the corner. A lot of parents are wondering how to trick or treat. Do they hand out candy? Do they walk around with their children? What's your guidance?
I think that particularly if you're vaccinated, but you can get out there. You're outdoors for the most part, at least when my children were out there doing trick or treating, and enjoy it. I mean, this is a time that children love. It's a very important part of the year for children. I know my children enjoyed it. So, I mean, again, particularly if you're vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, again, think about it, that you'll add an extra degree of protection to yourself and your children and your family and your community. So it's a good time to reflect on why it's important to get vaccinated.
From the Grinch who wanted to steal Christmas to Mr. Go Have a Great Halloween, huh? Dr. Fauci, with one of the bigger walkbacks I've ever seen from him. And I think it's because he realized that the Democrat overlords who really call the shots, whether it's at the NIH or the CDC, the Biden administration, was taking heat on his whole, I don't know if over Christmas you can see other humans. It might be a very unmerry Christmas for you. Even if you're vaccinated, perhaps stay home alone. You can watch Home Alone and there will not be droplets from the screen. I believe we have not tested, but that's about it. Maybe you can get a TV dinner. Yeah, people were like, what? And all of a sudden Fauci's, oh, no, it's cool. Go enjoy yourself. Halloween. By the way, welcome back to Clay and Buck Show. This is just Buck because Clay's coming back tomorrow. He had some things to tend to today, so I'm rolling here solo, and the show has been flying by. I am going to be on the Greg Gutfeld show tonight at 11 p.m. on Fox News, so if you get a chance, please tune in. If you've never seen me doing TV before, it'd be a fun opportunity to watch the Buckster. A little bit of serious analysis, a little bit of talking about some fun stuff. They'll probably make fun of the wood-paneled station wagon that I drove in college, because that always comes up when I go see Greg. It even had a special name. So you got to watch that. I see that's what we call a teaser in the business. You got to watch tonight. Check it out. And also, please do subscribe to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Just me in the morning doing a quick rundown. Great thing to listen to on your phones or on your in your car, wherever you are. It's just the Buck Sexton Show. Check it out. And we have more on the COVID madness to discuss. People are starting to see that there has been a clear incrementalism at work here all along. And they've gone from, oh, yeah, sure, we can be reasonable, too, to you're going to do this or else. And that's why the vaccine mandate getting real pushback, meaningful pushback, not just rhetorical pushback, from people at Southwest Airlines, pilots and others who have decided, OK, well, we're not going to show up for work if you're going to keep this stuff up. That can have a real impact. And the problems that we're seeing in the economy, it's fascinating when you see this playing out, because on the one hand, the Democrats, the Fauciites, have terrified the vaccinated from working. And on the other hand, they've also demanded that the unvaccinated stop working. And they've paid people to be home and not work in general. When you have all that, guess what? You start to have a worker shortage. And when you have a worker shortage, you also start to have a shortage of goods and services. And then you have less economic output. You have supply chain issues. You have businesses going under. You have people losing jobs. This is a negative cycle that we are seeing play out, and it's all entirely predictable. None of this really had to happen the way that it is, but Democrats are ideologically invested in things going this way. And I mean, here's an example. I mean, this is the kind of rhetoric they've used about vaccine mandates up to date.
No one likes to mandate people to do things that they may not want to do. But sometimes for the greater good of society, you have to do that.
You've got to start telling people if you don't get vaccinated, you can't come into this office or this place of business.
There are privileges associated with being an American that if you wish to have these privileges, you need to get vaccinated. Travel and having the right to travel interstate, it's not a constitutional right as far as I know.
I think that he should approach this with an iron fist.
And those governors that stand in the way, I think it was very clear from the president's tone today that he will run over them.
Screw your freedom.
You can stay unvaccinated if you want, but you're not going to be able to travel to see your family.
We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin.
Patience is wearing thin. Screw your freedom. You hear this stuff and you say to yourself, they expect us to want to go along with all this still in good faith? Their behavior is dishonest and it's thuggish. This is thuggish behavior from people that are insisting that everybody, and it's not even rooted in a real scientific argument. And as long as they do not allow, I mean, first of all, there's a freedom argument and there's a science argument that goes against the mandates. The freedom argument, of course, you're all familiar with, is the government should not be mandating people get a shot with a 99.7% survival rate from the virus itself and a shot that fades dramatically in a matter of months in the first place. Okay, this was not a value proposition that should have been dictated to all of us. So that's the freedom to inject something in your body. How much more of this are we going to be suffering through? For how many more years, right? So that's the freedom part of it. But the science part is, how can they think they're on the side of science when they won't allow for natural immunity to be a sufficient condition to not necessitate getting the shot, right? Essentially, you get an opt out if you have had natural immunity. They don't deal with it. Why? Because they have a policy in mind, and they will pursue the policy at whatever cost they can get away with. That's where the Southwest Airlines pushback comes in. That elevates the cost. Finally, a company sees there will be a cost to this. Because what happened in New York, I can tell you, with the hospitals, because they didn't have all the nurses and all the doctors who didn't want to get the shot pulling out at the same time, you know, a lot of them decided they were just going to get it. And by the way, I'm passing no judgment on that. But at the last minute, they got the shot. I understand that decision. People have mortgages. I could see myself in a similar situation making that choice about the job situation. So I sit here and I just see that finally, I think there's enough rage against the machine, if you will. But of course, those guys are pro-vaccine mandate. And a classic left-wing irony, rage against the machine, or like, yeah, get the vaccine or else. I could probably do a whole rage against the vaccine machine song for you guys. That's where we are. Because they're all about it. They're all about defying power and all that, except they're millionaires who want you to do exactly what the powerful want them to do because they're leftists, and the left, as we know, does not believe in individuality, individual thought, or any of the rest of it. This is why their comedians all go on TV at night and make unfunny jokes at the expense of Republicans, and they all make the same jokes. But this is the problem with collectivism in general and with radical equality in the minds of people who take too much power into their hands in the first place to institute what is impossible. And we see this with COVID in so many different respects. Dr. Wen, maybe the second worst doctor to be on TV during, I mean, there's a number. Fauci's number one. Number one. Nobody else comes close. But there are other doctors out there who are pretty horrible when it comes to COVID stuff. And here she is, that she basically wants people to be getting tested all the time. Test.
We need to reset our expectations here in the U.S. We need to recognize that we will be living with COVID-19 for the foreseeable future. But that doesn't mean that we need to be in a state of emergency around COVID-19. There is a way for us to live with it so that it doesn't have to be driving every single one of our decisions about school and work and travel and social activities. That's why testing is so important. Imagine what a big game changer it would be if we make it the norm that before people get together for dinner or go to see a play, that they all get tested beforehand. And so that's why that rapid testing is so important, and it needs to be widely available.
I mean, is this woman insane? You're going to get tested for COVID every time you go out to dinner? You're going to get tested for COVID before you see members of your own family? Does she really think that all but the most neurotic, absurd Democrat, CNN-obsessed, New York Times-subscribing wimps are going to do that? You've got to be kidding me. But she's saying it. She's putting it out there. And just when I'm telling you right now, I wish we could run this experiment. If Dr. Fauci went on TV tomorrow and said you have to wear 3 masks and goggles or else you're not taking the virus seriously, I would be able to show you photos from my walk into the studio here in New York of Democrats wearing 3 masks with goggles on. If Fauci gave a public say that, it would happen. That is how sad and desperate and incapable of thinking for themselves these people have become. Come back to some of your thoughts here to close us out. 800-282-2882. That's 800-282-2882. We'll be back in just a moment with more. Nearly 1 out of 3 of us suffer from chronic pain. Happens for all kinds of reasons, from aging to exercise to overexertion and the effects of everyday living. There's a solution so many of you are discovering. It's a product called Relief Factor. Created by doctors and perfected over 15 years of scientific research, Relief Factor was made for you. With 4 key ingredients, Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free product which addresses joint pain, knee, hip, back, neck, and shoulder pain. Hundreds of thousands of people have ordered Relief Factor, and about 70% of them go on to order more. If you're currently in pain, you have about a 7 in 10 chance to eliminate it. Those are pretty great odds. And what do you have to lose? Join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. My dad is taking this. It's been huge for him. He's out playing more golf than ever, and he's had a lot of aches and pains in the past. He loves Relief Factor. We've got a big supply of it at home. He's taking it every day. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to get the 1995 3-week quick start developed for you, or you can call 800-4-RELIEF. Give you a sense of what I think we're going to be talking about tomorrow. This is Buck rolling, closing up shop here solo on the Clay and Buck Show today. Clay will be back with me tomorrow, but this from the Washington Post. I'm sure we're going to be hitting this in some detail. The commercial pipeline that each year brings $1 trillion worth of toys, clothing, electronics, and furniture from Asia to the U.S. is clogged, and no one knows how to unclog it. As Americans fume, supply headaches are expected to last through 2022. I get an idea. Get rid of all these stupid Biden, COVID, and economic policies that have created this mess, and you will unclog it. Wow. Like magic. Gosh, somebody give me a Nobel Prize. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, although I would totes make good use of it. And we'll get to your calls now. We got Nick in North Carolina. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how's it going, Buck? I was just thinking about the whole thing with the Southwest Airlines and employees there, and it just reminded me, I used to work for the TSA, and I have a lot of coworkers I'm still in contact with, and there's a number of them, you know, there's some that don't want to get the vaccine, and there's some that have gotten the vaccine, and they don't believe in forcing it on people. But it's going to be a little bit before they start firing people, because they're going through the process as if they were insubordinate, and they're firing them based on, you know, the various union rules throughout the organization. So it's probably going to be at least another month before they actually start looking at firing those employees. But in the meantime, they're going to probably, they've already got a list of punishments, if you will, for not getting the vaccine. Like, you know, you get written up first and then supposed to talk to the employees about the benefits of the COVID vaccine and so on and so forth until, you know, their refusal, they get written up enough to where they can fire them.
Nick, you think that most of the people that have refused, are they going to keep refusing based on what you're hearing from folks, or are some of them going to say, all right, we took it as far as we can, we're going to get the shot now?
I think the ones who have already, I think they've scared the ones who have said, okay, we've taken it as far as we can, and they're already taking the vaccine at this point, because they've already outlined the punishments and they've had the supervisors talk to people. So I think the remaining holdouts are probably going to hold out until they get fired, or, you know, until they decide to do something else, depending on how many people they're looking at.
Yeah, Nick, this is a situation that's playing out in places all over the country. At least the federal workers are, there's a little more of a process in place than what a lot of people get. Thank you for calling in from North Carolina. And like I say, however you're going to roll with this stuff, remember, don't charge the machine gun nest without a plan to take it. Lisa in Omaha, Nebraska, KFAB. What's up, Lisa?
First, I'm in love with you.
Thank you. You have excellent taste.
Second, I work on a large government facility in Bellevue, Nebraska, and they are forcing us to get the shots or we will not be allowed in the building after the 30th of October.
Oh, man. What are you going to do? What are you going to do, Lisa?
Well, I have filed a religious exemption, and I've asked HR 3 times, and they keep saying we're working on it. Actually, my company is saying I have to have the shots by this Friday, or I will not, or I will be terminated. And I'm close to retirement, so I am freaking out.
So, Lisa, why don't you want the shot? Considering if you're close to retirement, I would assume, you know, you're not 25. Is this a freedom stand for you, or just a personal health decision? What's your thought process?
It's my freedoms being taken away. I have been an American citizen for over 30 years. I became a citizen in this country because of the freedoms that I have, and they are taking them away from us. And it starts with this. Then what's next? take away our guns?
I mean, if they could, by the way, the answer is yes, they would. Lisa, thank you so much for calling in, for your kind words. Appreciate it. You have a good day. We also have, let's see, Michael in Rockford, Illinois. Hey, Michael, what's up?
Yes, thank you very much. I listen to your show every day. I'm a retired medical doctor, and after some 40 years, and I think the problem with Dr. Fauci, I went back and looked at his background on the internet and so on, and after age 30, when he finished his training, I didn't see anything listed at all where he was in any patient care situations. So I think when he goes on TV and starts talking, he's gotten so much influence and so much involvement in the political area that he doesn't speak to the people. If he thought everybody yes. he was talking to was a patient of his, where he would be, they would be paying him and so on and so forth, I think he would be a lot clearer and take his time in explaining his approach instead of his jumping all around and changing his mind and this and that.
Michael, I think your observation is spot on here. I think that Fauci is a politician in a lab coat and has forgotten what it means to be a physician and the Hippocratic Oath a long time ago. Thank you for calling in, sir. An MD himself. Like I said, if you haven't already, please subscribe to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. It's only a podcast. You can't listen to it on radio. It's a great way to get your morning started. We get it out before the show. You can also check out what I'm doing on YouTube, youtube.com/Buck Sexton. Please subscribe there. We'll be putting video up every day, Monday through Friday. With that, I got to say, I'm excited to have my buddy Clay back tomorrow. We missed him today. We're going to have a great show in store for you tomorrow, though, talking more about the supply chain mess, Fauciism, the border. Oh, my. It's going to be amazing. And, well, I always close out shows by saying, shields high.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.